What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Yeah, I mean, we're certainly going to attack both acquisition periods here. And I think that you have to stay disciplined to your process, too. You know, you're still trying to build a team in a locker room and a culture, and you do that through the draft. And we're certainly going to, you know, have our hand in free agency as well, too, here. And there's going to be some great opportunities to add some players in free agency. But really through the draft is really where you have to build that foundation initially. And Robert's been through it before, and I've been through it in the past. And you want to build it right, you got to build it through the draft.
Welcome everyone to another episode of the Music City Audible, a Tennessee Titans podcast live show Friday hangout. Welcome in everybody. I am your host, Justin Graver, full-time NFL podcast producer for Odyssey. And I'm joined as always by the managing editor of Titan Size, the publisher of NFL Draft on SI, and a degenerate gambler, Justin Mello. How's it going, my friend?
Doing well on this Friday morning. I was cracking up at all the comments. Late. The generals have abandoned us. Let's disband the Audible Army. We were about 120 seconds late, but we are here live Friday edition, 10:30 a.m. Central. Every Friday, take your lunch breaks, call in sick to work, divorce your wives, do whatever you have to do to be here on a Friday morning for the Music City Audible live edition. And as someone called out, yes, I gave in to Graver's idea. We got a pretty interesting, unique draft-centric show on that Music City Audible today.
Yeah, we're playing a fun game today. Shout out to this first comment here, SD Buonabob 7420. On Wednesday's pod, Graver said he would pay Mello $20 for a bet. What was the bet? Actually, no. I gave Mello a very glowing introduction, and Mello said he would pay me $20 for puffing him up as much as I did. But it's not puffing, because Mello is the best, and that's why I do a podcast with him. I'm lucky to be paired with somebody with the football knowledge and takes as Justin Mello. That'll be another 20, please. Today's show, as you said, a fun, interesting look at the draft, the top of the draft. We're going to play a gambling game. And if you're turned off by that idea, just know that we're not actually gambling any money and that we don't really encourage anyone to gamble. If you are ever going to gamble, it's important to remember. We have to say this disclaimer if we're going to have this conversation, Justin. It's important to remember, never bet more than you can afford to lose. Never expect to win. Think of it as a hobby that costs money. It could be an expensive hobby if it costs you a lot of money, and it could be a cheap hobby if you don't gamble very much, but it can be fun. It can add interest and intrigue for you, like personal stakes to any sporting event, such as the NFL draft and the top of the draft. So we're going to play a game today where we place imaginary bets on the top pick for the Titans and try to make imaginary money off of it. And we want you, the audience, to be a part of this. So we'll take your bets in the live chat. I have a spreadsheet. We'll get into it all in just a second. But we are, I mean, Johnny 8200 says, whatever you say, I will bet my life savings on. I mean, that is on you. I would hope that we can win you double your life savings. If we don't, yeah, we will not be accepting any blame, nor will we be paying back any debts. So,
and, And building on the marriage advice I gave earlier, remember, if you're struggling to place bets, you could always sell your house. That's always a possibility you can to afford additional bets. I don't know if that's part of the disclaimer, but I think it is.
Right. Or take out personal loans. Like, you can't always, like, if you lose a bet, you can always double it and remake the bet, right? Like, if you're playing blackjack or craps.
Get right back on that horse.
Roulette. Like, you can, like, just double it and bet black again, like, or bet red again. Like, how many, you're not going to lose, what, five times in a row? Come on. I mean, what are the odds? Okay, we're joking. Obviously, we're joking. We're going to start this conversation by looking at the actual odds to be the number four overall pick. This is courtesy of DraftKings. Now, these are the odds today, March 27th, again, over on DraftKings. This is not the odds to be the Titans' first-round pick. This is the odds to be the number four pick, which obviously would mean the Titans could trade, another team could jump up and take this number four selection. But those players, starting at the top of the board, the favorite is Notre Dame running back Jeremiah Love, who is plus 100. That is a one-to-one odds. If you don't understand gambling odds or how all this stuff works, we're going to explain it so you can still have fun and participate and understand and enjoy this episode of the Music City Audible. Plus 100 odds. That's one-to-one. That means you bet 100, you win 100. Or maybe we keep it lower. You bet 10, you win 10. David Bailey is next on the list. Kind of surprising to me that David Bailey is actually the second favorite player to be drafted at number four overall. Plus 300, 3-to-1, bet 10 to win 30. You should be able to do that conversion yourself the rest of the way, so I'm going to stop saying it every time. Sonny Styles and Reuben Bain Jr. are actually tied for the third highest odds to be the number four pick at plus 650. And then we get into the long shots. And you can see, if you're watching on YouTube, I added this implied probability that's calculated based on what the payout would be. So the sports books, specifically DraftKings, has Jeremiah Love at a 50% chance to be the number four pick. Everyone else, it goes down from there. David Bailey, 25%. Styles and Bain, 13%. Carnell Tate, under 8%. Arvel Reese, under 7%. And then we get into the real long shots that, like, we're not even discussing. Mansoor Delane, we briefly talked about yesterday, 3%. Monroe Freeling might be the most shocking pick the Titans could possibly make, under 3%. Jordan Tyson, 2.4%. And this one did surprise me. Caleb Downs, all the way down at plus 4,000, 2.4% implied probability. I thought Caleb Downs would be higher. I mean, he is like the best player in the draft. He has an argument to be named best player in the draft, along with like Jeremiah Love and maybe no one, and Arvel Reese, I guess, or Sonny Styles. Like, those are the four. So it's interesting that Caleb Downs is so low on this list.
Yeah, I definitely didn't expect him that low. It's funny how, you know, I agree, like, people are shocked at where Monroe Freeling is. But it's funny, like, I just started thinking to myself, I think there's a chance that Monroe Freeling goes a lot closer to number four overall than Jordan Tyson does. Maybe even then, I can see Monroe Freeling getting drafted before both Caleb Downs and Sonny Styles, for example, or one of Styles or Reese. I've got Freeling going six overall right now to the Cleveland Browns. So that's pretty close to number four. So maybe that's what the odd makers are thinking. What are the Tate odds? I'm not sure. They're right there. Plus 1,200 Carnell Tate, 7.7% implied probability.
He said he got hit by a commercial. Sorry for the commercials, folks. But, you know, Justin and I, we don't do this for free. Or else how could we make all of our bets? Am I right? I am kidding. Justin and I never gamble with Music City Audible money. Justin, you and I did something fun for this exercise, because here's what we could do. We could take these odds, the real odds, and we could like make our fake bets on the real odds and see if we could win money. But the thing about it is, these are all plus money bets. Like, every single one of these, even the Jeremiah Love, is technically one to one. It's also, I mean, you could write minus 100. It would be the same thing. But every other bet on here is a plus money bet. And you and I specifically think Reuben Bain is the likeliest or second likeliest pick at this spot. Feels like cheating for you and I to like play this, the game we have in mind with these odds. I also saw a comment early on before we even started the stream from Iron Grids, who already threw $50 on Bain at that plus 650 because it's a crazy value bet. He thinks that those odds are going to drop before the draft. I kind of do too. I think plus 650 for Bain is crazy good value. Not that I'm encouraging anyone to go make any bets with money that is not mine. But you and I decided, why don't we handicap this ourselves? Let's create our own odds. We'll start with what we think the probability is, convert that probability into an odds list as if we were handicapping for a sports book. Now, obviously, when you take a look at implied probability, it's not going to add up to 100% because the book's got to make money too. You know, we need an edge here. So these are the odds that we came up with. We actually thought Reuben Bain would be the favorite. So we got Reuben Bain at the top of the list, minus 190, and Jeremiah Love second at minus 150. Now, if you look at the implied probability, that indicates Reuben Bain a 65.5% chance of being the pick, and Jeremiah Love a 60% chance of being the pick. And another caveat to this is that this is not odds to be the number four pick. This is odds for the Titans' first round selection. So if the Titans trade down and take Sonny Styles or Caleb Downs or anybody not on this list, aka the field, that would cover that. It's part of a trade down scenario, but this is specifically to the Titans. We put David Bailey third, Arvell Reese fourth, Carnell Tate fifth, Sonny Styles sixth, Caleb Downs seventh. And then the field, we put that at a 1-3 shot that the Titans could trade back and take somebody else. So I wouldn't rule that out. That might be, you know, slightly favoring the house in terms of the odds there, because you should maybe get a little more for not picking one of these players, but it is what it is. This is what we're going with, and this is how we will be making our bets. Justin, you really put this list, the order of this list together. I weighed in on the probability. What do you think of what we got here?
I think this is pretty accurate, especially the top three. I think the top three are exactly the way they should be, and I want to make a quick correction. Graver said that we don't place any, you know, money on these things, especially MCA money, but he doesn't speak for me. So if you guys do leave super chat tips, I will take that money and place it on one of these. I might even do it today. So I live somewhere where it's legal to gamble. So take that, Atlas, who says he lives in a state where gambling's not legal currently. But here in Toronto, it's incredibly legal. I've got multiple apps on my phone. I should probably delete them. But I will, yeah. So if you guys come through with super chat tips, maybe I will go ahead and place that money on one of these gentlemen.
And not at these odds, at the real odds. Atlas, I too live in a state where gambling is not legal. It's the great state of Texas. But here's the thing. Today's show isn't about gambling or who you should bet on for the Titans' top pick. It's just a fun way to frame a conversation around the most likely candidates to go number four overall, or for the Titans to take, I should say, with their first round draft selection. And we're framing it in this unique way because it's a fun game and we can track it and we can come back and look at how we did, you know, after the draft. But really what we're doing is we're talking about the likelihood that each of these guys actually ends up being the pick. So even without the gambling information, the hope is that you will get some fun conversation and Titans related out of this. So Justin, let's get to it. This is what I've built. This is a little spreadsheet. I did not use Iron Grid's help. Maybe Iron Grid's could get in here and make this look a little prettier. For this spreadsheet, I did it on my own, Justin, but we have all the players that were on that board a second ago listed on the left with their odds. You and I each have a $1,000 imaginary budget. The goal, place bets to make profit. So what we'll do is, you know, we can divvy this up however we want. We can sprinkle some on the higher odds picks like Caleb Downs, Sonny Styles, Carnell Tate. See if we can hit a lottery ticket there. Place a little bit more money maybe on some of the favorites. And we'll come back to this after the draft and see who made the most money between you and me. And the thing that makes this fun, in my opinion, is that we're going to track your bets as well. So you guys just throw a bet in the live chat. And again, imaginary money. You guys say, I want $500 on David Bailey. I will write your username next to your bet in this audience bet section. And when we come back after the draft, probably makes sense to do this on like the first Friday after the draft, the live stream, after we've had time to really break down all the picks and we can have some fun on that Friday show. And we'll take a look and see who made money, if me or Mello had a bigger profit or loss, and which of you guys were able to make money. So Justin, with your $1,000 budget, do you have an idea where you want to go first, or do you want me to take it first?
I've got some ideas. I might end up losing money. I'm not so sure, but let's address this kind of silly question here. Why do you do a Titans pod if neither of you are in Tennessee? I've watched every Titans game since 2003. So you find someone better informed than we are on the Titans, I encourage you to do so. But good luck. I think I'll leave it at that. I really want to go – would it be silly to put 300 – oh, boy. I might put 300 on Reuben Bain.
Okay. First bet is in from one of us. Obviously, we also have an audience bet. Wow, look at this bet in the chat. Chris going ham on Love. Go big or go home, $1,000. I will get that noted. But first, Justin, talk to me about Reuben Bain. You do think he's the most likely player to be selected at this spot, despite the fact that the books don't agree. What makes you think Bain is that guy? Because if you listen to, say, Cover 2 with Blaine and Zach, or Football and Other F-Words, Zach Lyons has been going hard saying that he doesn't see Reuben Bain as like the prototypical Saleh defensive end. He thinks that guy is David Bailey, who might not be on the board at pick 4.
I agree. Sorry that David, and I'm going to say that when we get there, that David Bailey is the more prototypical Robert Saleh D lineman. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I don't know that he's going to be on the board. I think there's a better chance that Reuben Bain, a way better chance, that Reuben Bain's available at number 4 compared to David Bailey. So that plays a large role in the decision that I'm making here. I still think the Titans need a number 1 future edge rusher. I don't love what they have at that position. I think, you know, Jermaine Johnson coming off the Achilles, he's on the expiring year of his contract. TBD on him. Femi, you know, I think this fan base has a lot more confidence in him than his rookie year warranted. I think we have to see it. I think he deserves every opportunity to prove that he could be a future solution for this team, but he has to go and earn it, right? I think no doubt about that. Then everything else is just, you know, Jalen Harrell, Jacob Martin. I still think they need a big-time edge rusher on this defense. I think Reuben Bain could be that type of guy. I'm a big fan of the tape, as I've said earlier this week. I think he generates a lot of power, plays with a great motor, stops the run, 3-down edge guy because of what he does in the run game. I think the Titans are going to love his character, no doubt about it. We know he's got an upcoming pre-draft visit with the Titans. We know that Cam Ward is advocating for it. You know, I certainly don't think Mike Borgonzi is letting Cam Ward make this decision, but certainly they're going to gain some valuable insight from Cam Ward in relation to the human being and player that Reuben Bain is. So I like Reuben Bain. I think he's one of the options, one of the better options at number 4. That's where I'm placing my money, my initial money at least.
I feel like it would be foolish for both of us to not at least put a little bit on these favorites, even if they pay out minus money. Before we continue, though, I'm going to answer a question we have here in the chat. From Sir Kendall the Rapper, what's the game we're doing here? The game is, can you predict with your money, your imaginary money, where the Titans are going to go with their first pick of the 2026 draft? If you feel like you can predict it with your imaginary money, put your imaginary bet in the chat. I will be tracking it here. Justin and I are competing to see who can make more money. If we get beat out by an audience member, then credit to the audience because you guys will have staked a claim there. And that's the game. Justin Mello has already put 300 MCA bucks on Reuben Bain Jr., and I have some audience bets that I need to catch up on, so I'll get to that in a second. But I'm going to place a bet first, Justin, because I'm also going to bet on Reuben Bain here. But everyone knows me. Everyone knows who I think the top pick is going to be. So I'm going to keep this a little more conservative. I'm going to throw 250 on Bain, which doesn't pay out very well. And if it is Bain, I'm going to be in the hole. I'm going to be in the hole like $650 or so, $670 or so. And one note to the audience in case it's confusing to you, the to win column is the winnings. If you were to place a bet and win, you would also get the value of your bet back. So the to pay number would be the bet plus the win. So this would net me about, what, $380? So I would lose about $620 if Bain is the pick. But that's better than losing all of it. And I still think the pick is going to be somebody else. So that's where I'll leave it. But I do agree, of the edge group, Reuben Bain is by far the most likely, and I don't understand why David Bailey has higher odds, because in my opinion, David Bailey's not going to be there at four. Like, I really think the top three picks in this draft, and, you know, you could go back a month ago, and this is what people were saying, and the draft season, the draft cycle, is this, the ebbs and flows are crazy, the roller coaster ride that we go on. But it's almost like, more than a roller coaster, it's like a merry-go-round, because we almost always end up back where we started. And I do think that by the time the draft rolls around, it'll be a pretty clear consensus. Fernando Mendoza, number one, Arvel Reese, number two, David Bailey, number three, with the Titans on the clock, choosing between Reuben Bain, Jeremiah Love, and the rest. So that's why I would put money on Bain. I may sprinkle a little on Bailey, just because there's a chance that it is Bailey. There's a chance that the Cardinals go tackle, they could go Jeremiah Love, somebody could trade up and take that pick. I don't really foresee a trade in the top five of this draft. That's just my personal opinion. I just don't think that the prospects are worth trading up for when you look at what you might have to give up. Nobody's giving up a 2027 pick to come up in this draft, because 2027's class is going to be much better. So for those reasons, I am going to throw a little bit on Bain, and maybe if I have some budget left over after making my other bets, maybe I'll come back and splash a little bit more there, but that's where I'm starting. Justin, I'm assuming you're going to throw at least some money on Jeremiah Love, and if you want to before that, shout out this super chat.
Inspector Callahan with the super chat tip. First ever super chat to my favorite Titans YouTubers. We really appreciate your support, and we appreciate your generosity as well. Thank you so much for that. Hopefully you'll stick around. We got some really good shows coming up, so appreciate you supporting the channel. I am going to throw some money on Jeremiah Love, but I think I'm going to go conservative, which may or may not surprise you. I went 300 on Bain. I'm going to go 200 on Jeremiah Love, just enough to kind of ensure that I get a little something if that is the pick for the Titans at number four overall. If you've been reading PaulKuharsky.com, you know, which you should, after you read Titan Size, you go to Titan Size first, then you go to PaulKuharsky.com second. He's been going pretty hard on the Titans are not going to take Jeremiah Love at number four. Adam Schefter has said it a couple of times. Collectively, you know, different reasons, but they tend to believe that with Mike Borgonzi, Chad Brinker, these guys come from organizations that haven't necessarily prioritized placing premium assets on a running back. I kind of subscribe to that too. I think I said a couple weeks ago that I'm having a hard time shaking the feeling that Mike Borgonzi doesn't strike me as a running back at number four kind of guy. I think he's a bit old school. I think he believes in building the team through premium positions. I mean, he took a quarterback first last year, then he took an edge rusher with his next pick. I know it's obviously early. He overpaid a left tackle. Like, I think it says a lot about the way that Mike Borgonzi approaches these premium positions. So I'm going to go 200 on Love, protect myself. I love Jeremiah Love, the prospect. I think he's the best overall player in the draft, but I do think there's a little something, and there's so much evidence out there, right? Regarding the don't draft a running back early crowd. There's so much analytical evidence out there. I'm covering my bases here, but I'm not convinced.
So is that sort of like, would you put it at 20% in your mind? Because that's 20% of your budget. I'm just curious where you feel or how you feel about it. Because like, you still think he's the second most likely pick here, don't you?
I haven't placed my other money yet. You don't know that.
I know, but I mean, we did make the handicap here. We did come up with the odds for each of these guys together. So, I mean, yeah, there could be other guys obviously in play, but I don't know. I just feel like the running back, the idea that you're talking about here, that Mike Borgonzi is a old school general manager who with traditional football principles and works with Chad Brinker, who's the same way, who comes from organizations that don't draft running backs high, like, to me, if you think that that's how Mike Borgonzi thinks, it's either all or nothing. It's either he will not draft Jeremiah Love because he has hard principles that he follows, or he doesn't think that way and he might take anybody, right? Like, well, so how convicted are you, I guess, that Mike Borgonzi is that kind of guy who would be like, I'm not taking a non-premium position in the top five of an NFL draft, no matter who is available.
Well, listen, I'm not convicted, and I'll be honest with you, because we're still learning his habits, number one. And number two, like, I think he's the best player in the draft, so I always think there's a chance, which is why I'm covering my bases here with my $200 bet, or imaginary bet, obviously. But I'm leaving open the possibility, because I tend to think that that he is this old school GM that's going to target a premium position, right? Like, in, you know, in Kansas City, they, you know, quarterback Patrick Mahomes, they took edge rushers George Karlaftis. Green Bay, they take, you know, obviously they took a quarterback when they didn't need one yet, Jordan Love, when Chad Brinker was there, and they've routinely, offensive linemen, defensive linemen, they go heavy, heavy in the trenches in Green Bay when Brinker was there. So for me, I do think these guys, the history indicates that they're not that those types of guys. But when you're talking about the best player in the draft at number four, someone that would help your rookie quarterback, you know, what do you want to do? You want to convict me? I think there's a chance. I think there's a chance. That's all I'm saying, but I'm not convinced.
I think that I generally agree with the idea that Mike Borgonzi values positional value and doesn't want to go outside of that. But I think that he is more malleable than just like a black and white, never draft a running back this high. Like, I think Robert Saleh's comments a few weeks ago at the Combine, when he talked about how Cam Ward can't ask him to carry the offense for 60 snaps a game, indicates that these guys understand the value of a running back in terms of how it helps a young quarterback. I think that they look at the rest of this class, and I think, how about, I'll put it this way, Justin. I think it's more likely that Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi would take Reuben Bain off their board for failing to meet an arm length threshold.
Equally as likely.
Than it is for them to say, we're just never drafting a running back very high. Because when you have the number four pick and you have to make that choice in this draft class, and if, like, Jeremiah Love could be the best player in this draft, do you take it? Like, I think those guys are more likely to try to maximize this pick by making sure they don't whiff. Because if you whiff on this pick, you could all lose your jobs. With the way Amy Adams Strunk has turned things over in the front office and the head coaching position, I don't think Robert Saleh would lose his job. But I think, like, if they take Reuben Bain and he has two sacks as a rookie, and Jeremiah Love is a 1,500-yard, 12-touchdown bell cow rookie of the year, like, Amy's going to look at that and be like, why didn't you draft this guy?
I don't think that would be in they're going to get fired territory. I think that's probably taking
not a yet, far. But go another year into the future, whiffed on the first round pick. Like, if they whiff on this pick, it's detrimental to the rebuild, and it will elongate it by multiple years.
Yeah, of course. Listen, yeah, when you're a rebuilding team and you've won three games in back-to-back years, nature of the beast, you've got to hit on this pick, and whatever they do, they're going to do it because they believe it's the best, you know, in the interest of the organization. So I get it. And Jeremiah Love certainly helps Cam Ward. He's the best player in the draft. I want to convey, like, I will not be disappointed if they take Jeremiah Love. It would be impossible for me not to get excited. Who doesn't love the best player in the draft? On top of it, a position that's really exciting to watch, right? One that's going to help Cam Ward. For a franchise that's had Chris Johnson and Eddie George and Derrick Henry and Earl Campbell, all these legendary running backs, I wouldn't be disappointed in it by any stretch. Putting on my analytical hat, I'm just saying I definitely think it's a possibility that Mike Borgonzi is not a running back at four kind of guy. That's all I'm saying.
I think that it is possible. I will agree with you that it is possible. I would hope that he's smart enough to weigh it against the other players in this class.
I'm going to place my next bet next, but before we do, shout out Jesse Jones 1471 for the super chat tip. Very generous of you, Jesse. Heavy defense and free agency makes me think an offensive draft. I agree. I think it's going to be an offensive heavy draft based on what they did on defense. 1K on Love. Love in the first. I go OG, a guard or edge in the second. Lots of defensive ends to choose from in this draft. Best Titans podcast. Thank you so much for the kind words, Jesse Jones, and the analysis, really good analysis there on free agency and how they might approach this draft. We appreciate the heck out of you for the tip and the analysis and more so the support of the show.
Thank you so much. We appreciate everyone who tunes in. We really obviously appreciate those super chats. You guys make this worth our time.
We gotta take a break.
We should take a break. Let's take a break for the audio audience. You said you were going to make your next pick, but Justin, I haven't placed my next bet.
So maybe
I'll go first.
Yeah.
But we will do that for the audio audience right after this break.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage 1. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Welcome back, audio audience. It's time for me to place my next bet, and I'm going to place it on Jeremiah Love because I do think Jeremiah Love will be the pick. My Jeremiah Love, no matter what, post-it note keeps me grounded. It keeps me from falling into these traps of the shiny new player. So I'm going to put the majority of my budget on Jeremiah Love. I'm going to go 600 here to win 400, to pay 400. That'll put me back to 1,000. So if Jeremiah Love is the pick, no matter what happens with the rest of my bets, Justin, I will break even. And breaking even after a trip to the casino, to me, that's winning. If you come out of the casino without losing money, you've won the day. So I'm going 600 on Love. That will be my biggest bet placed. And it saves me $150 to sprinkle on some of these other players down, later down the list, just to try to make back some money if the pick isn't Jeremiah Love.
Smart of you, and I know how happy you would be to break even if it meant the Titans took Jeremiah Love. That would be a win in your books, I think, right? Breaking even on the player that you want them to draft, I think, is a win. By the way, really quickly, this question, Jake. I wondered the same thing myself. That's why I put this question up on the chat. Have you noticed, Graver, we haven't heard anything about the Titans being in attendance. Like, Ohio State had their pro day. Texas had their pro day. Notre Dame had their pro day. Like, all these big schools. Alabama. I haven't heard anything about the Titans being in attendance at these pro days. I thought that was pretty interesting. Will Lomas over at Titan Size brought that to my attention yesterday, actually, which is why Jake's question kind of triggered something in my brain. Pretty weird that we haven't heard about what they're doing at the pro day. Like, last year we heard about, you know, they were in Miami. Like, we heard everything. But this year we haven't really heard anything.
You know, it's actually frustrating to me because I see teams like the Saints and the Giants social media accounts like literally tweeting out pro day footage of their coaching staff meeting with these players.
Yeah.
And it's like not only is it's not like some beat writer is out there getting the scoop that the team's at the pro day meeting with a player. It's literally the team social account. And I am with you. Like, where are the Titans? Where is the Titans' presence at these pro days? It's kind of frustrating, but it also, I guess, the only real pro day action we heard about last year was them being at Miami, which was like very public and very obvious by that point.
Right.
When Cam Ward told Mike Borgonzi, "I'm sealing it today," or whatever he said. This year, like, it is much less obvious, but it is weird. Like, were they at Jeremiah Love's pro day? Were they at the Ohio State pro day? Were they at Texas Tech's pro day? Were they at Miami's pro? Like, we don't even know. And it's kind of annoying. But yeah, I guess that is just something we just have to work into our as we try to predict this pick. We don't really know. We don't really know who's going to be the pick here. So it's time for you to place a bet, Justin.
I'm placing my next bet. I'm going bigger here than I should probably, but those David Bailey odds are so appetizing at plus 550. I'm going $300 on David Bailey. Boy, those would be some pretty big winnings for me. Imaginary winnings, if you will, if David Bailey hits here. I agree with what you brought up earlier briefly that I guess you said Zach Lyons, I think, said on F-Words or Cover 2. that Bailey is the prototype Robert Saleh edge. The second, I'm not kidding you, like the second the Titans hired Robert Saleh, I had three different media friends in the industry who cover the Jets, whose opinions I value highly. They all messaged me separately and said, David Bailey at number four, Robert Saleh is going to trip over himself when it comes to this guy. They obviously covered Robert Saleh for a number of years. They knew what he likes in his edge rushers. And I think we all said it initially too. Like, it kind of got lost, you know, as the months have gone on, we've talked about how, you know, some of us aren't the biggest David Bailey fans. You and I, the fan base feels that way. We've talked about how he's likely to go two or three. So I think we've kind of fallen off that train a little bit. But the fact of the matter is still true. He is definitely a prototypical Robert Saleh edge rusher. And if he's on the board at number four, we talk about that. He loves that speedy wide nine. Remember, 1 year after they drafted Jermaine Johnson in New York, they drafted Will McDonald. And I think Will McDonald, in the first round, by the way, back-to-back first-round picks, does have somewhat of a similar profile as a rusher to David Bailey, where there was questions about, oh, you know, is he a three-down run defender? The athleticism is very much driven by first-step explosiveness and straight-line speed. I do think David Bailey's a bit better of a run defender than Will McDonald was coming out. And I don't think David Bailey's a great run defender by any stretch, but I thought Will McDonald was really bad when it came to it. So, and he's been really bad, by the way, at the NFL level. The Jets take
one good season
occasionally.
He had a good season in there. I think, was it Saleh's last year, or was it last? Was it this past
season? This past season, they were taking him off the field on rundowns. Okay. Like, he had a very inconsistent year. Will McDonald did in 2025 without Robert Saleh as his head coach. Maybe that's no.
But it must have been. Hang on, before you continue, we got some questions in here. This is an interesting one from Iron Grids. Mello, do you think the Bailey camera guy incident is indicative of erratic behavior? I think this front office probably winces pretty hard at that video. So if you don't know what happened, was this against, when was this? I thought Texas A&M had a tunnel incident. Was it David Bailey and Texas Tech?
I'll be honest with you. Grids, I don't recall this. You're going to have to refresh my memory. I don't remember this one.
There is a play. Hang on. I just looked it up. Texas Tech player allegedly grabbed photographer per police report October 2025. Yes. Texas Tech registered its first and only loss of 2025 to Arizona State. Red Raiders linebacker David Bailey allegedly grabbed a photographer by his shoulders and the back of his neck post-game as players, coaches, and various media members rushed the field after the fourth quarter. The photographer in question first posted a message on Instagram regarding the incident, noting, "The star player on the losing team took issue with me doing my job and thought he needed to put his hands on me." I feel like this happened in the NFL to somebody not too long ago as well. Like,
yeah, it's really stupid. I don't think it's like take him off my draft board stupid. I don't think it's we definitely can't take this guy at number four stupid. So they'll ask him about it. They'll question him. They'll want to hear his answer. But I don't think it's I wouldn't put too much into it.
I do think it's something that they would ask him about. In a meeting, a visit, a combine formal. It's one of the things that definitely comes up. This was right. Devontae Adams and cameraman had an incident. Yes. DK Metcalf had an incident with a fan in the stands. That was crazy.
I want to answer this question quickly too. No, Curtis. I personally, I loved Abdul Carter coming out. I thought he was an elite prospect. So I don't want you to take this answer as thinking super low on this year's class. But no, I don't think any of these guys are as good as Abdul Carter was as a prospect a year ago.
Yeah, comment from Jake about Bailey's incident. Dude loves ball, got a loss, and lost it. Absolutely, that happened. I think that is a good way to put it. Back to the game, Justin. What does the winner get from Dustin? The winner gets bragging rights and all the riches of imaginary fake MCA bucks they could ever need to make all the other bets in the world that they want to make. Dalen wants to know if he can pull his 250 from the field and throw it to Bailey because you convinced him that Bailey is that, a
likely
target.
Not how this works, Thalen. Are you cashing out early? Is that what we're letting? Are we letting him cash out early, Graver? What's going on here?
I think we could. I could also say, Dalen, that since this is all fake money and Justin and I are confined to a $1,000 budget, you don't necessarily have to be. So let us know in the chat. If you want me to, I can take your bet off the field, or I can just throw an additional $250 on Bailey for you. Keep us posted there. I'll take care of that in just a moment. So, and then one more question before we get back into anything, because this has come up a lot on multiple episodes. From Jake again, are you guys doing anything draft night, live watch party, or anything? Although it would be silly o'clock here in the UK. Appreciate you tuning in from overseas. Yeah. For those who don't know, I produce an NFL podcast called Heed the Call with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler. And we have a tradition, which is to be live during the first round of the NFL draft. So no, we will not be doing, Justin and I will not be doing a live watch party for this. I would like to get on as soon as we can, Justin, and record a reaction to the Titans pick.
Yep.
That might not happen until Friday morning, if I'm being honest, because in addition to the Heed the Call live stream, we also do a Heed the Call round one taped recap episode. So we'll be doing two episodes that night. Not sure how much time Justin and I will have, but that Friday morning is slotted in already.
Scenario. Yeah, worst case scenario. We'll try to get on for, 15, 20 minutes Thursday night to react to the Titans pick. But if we can't, we'll have a better, longer episode in truth on Friday morning.
Yeah. All right. Dalen has made his decision. All he wants to do is add to his current bets, 200 on Bailey. I have some other bets in here I need to update. I think just one, actually, from an angry fetus. What a name. An angry fetus. All right, Justin,
name.
I think it is my turn to place a bet. But since I'm going to be inputting these, why don't you go next?
So, do you want me to go to my last bet or continue talking David Bailey?
So you're going to use the $200 you have left on one bet. You're not going to go 50 here, 100 there, sprinkle it on Tate, Styles, whatever. You're just going to say, I'm confident it's one of these three players that you're betting on.
I do. I feel really good about Bane, Love, and Bailey, and I'm placing my last 200 on the field. In case the Titans trade back, I want to have the possibility that it's like Mekhi Lemon, it's Mansoor Delane, who they had in for two guys they had in for top 30 visits. I get crazy. They had KC Concepcion in for a visit. So I'm going with the field. In my mind, the field is Mekhi Lemon and Mansoor Delane, two top 10 worthy prospects that they had in for visits. I feel good about placing uniquely my final $200 here on the field.
I think that is a smart use of your money. There are people, at least Hershey Fareva in the chat, screaming for Mekhi Lemon, as could be that could be the pick, and you would win. I got to put it in here. Excuse me. I was busy putting in all of our audience bets. I didn't have a chance to put your last bet in. You would win. You'd take home 600 if it is a field bet. You'd still lose 400, but that might be enough to beat me. So with my last 150, I gotta sprinkle something on David Bailey. I can't just not bet on David Bailey, even if I do think he's gonna be the number three pick. I also think if he's there at four, the Titans may decide to go that route, even though my vision was that they will draft Jeremiah Love. I have an update to the vision, by the way, Justin.
Oh,
we'll get to that someday.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna throw 50 on Bailey. That'll put me, at least making a little over $300 there. What's interesting about this entire exercise, and one of the reasons I wanted to incorporate the live chat, is that we can really see where at least our audience thinks the Titans are going. Look at this board here. Huge clump of bets on Jeremiah Love. If Jeremiah Love's the pick, the house is losing money.
Mm.
Decent secondary clump of bets on Reuben Bain Jr., which makes sense. I mean, those are the two favorites for a reason. David Bailey, Carnell Tate, and the field, some bets. Only one person watching this stream bet on Sonny Styles, and nobody is taking Arvell Reese or Caleb Downs. That's interesting to me, but I think that is accurate, because we all believe, at least you and I strongly believe, it's going to be Arvel Reese at two. He recently went to dinner with the New York Jets. The Jets are taking a few guys out to dinner, so that's not necessarily an indicator, but it's another notch there, another piece of evidence. He's the highest upside player in the draft. So I do think the Jets are going to end up taking Arvel Reese. Like, there's a lot of smoke there. And at the top of the draft, usually when there's a lot of smoke, you can predict that pretty easily. And that's what it was like last year with Abdul Carter to the Giants. I think there was a lot of smoke and that ended up happening. And nobody betting on Caleb Downs. My new theory, I said this yesterday, I'm going to be mocking this all for the rest of the next month or so. Caleb Downs is going fifth overall to the Giants. That's my belief. I believe that that will happen. I do not think the Titans will take him, so I support the people not putting their money on Caleb Downs. Iron Grids, I see your bets. I'll get them in here in a second. I'm going to make my last two. With my last $100, I'm going to throw 50 on Carnell Tate, because smart. I think that there is an underrated chance that Carnell Tate could be the pick, especially in a trade down scenario. I think he could be the pick. And my last 50 is going on the field, because I do think there's a shot the Titans trade out. And my goal here, Justin, is to not lose $1,000. If I make back anything, if I get any of these bets correct, then I will feel good. Jeremiah Love is where my melon is, but most of my eggs in that basket. And that's it. That covers it. So I'll take some last bets here, and we can discuss maybe the likelihood of a trade down scenario. I do think we should take one more break for the audio audience. So audio audience, we'll be right back. And welcome back. Okay, Justin, Iron Grids wanted us to throw another betting option on here, a plus 500 for a trade down, which
I mean, is that not the field? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't dislike the idea, but I do like, if you look at the DraftKings odds or any sportsbook odds, like trading out of a pick, you can probably bet on that somewhere, but it's not listed with the, you know, odds to be picked at names. So I don't think we should include that. I think if you want that, you got it on the field. Again, the value is not very good, so maybe you don't want that, but that's how we're going to handle it today. Justin, if the Titans look to trade down, what's the farthest down the Titans would, should, could trade? What do you think?
I tend to think you still want to stay in the top 10, right? Like, I've talked about, do the Commanders get aggressive at 7? Do the Chiefs get aggressive at 9? I think those are the two likeliest teams, just because they've got decent rosters, and I think I could justify them getting aggressive. You're talking about a Jaden Daniels at quarterback, Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. So I see Washington or Kansas City personally being as the ideal partners, 7 or 9. And then, like I think I said earlier this week, at those spots, you're getting worst case scenario, Mansoor Delane or Mekhi Lebman, two guys you had on top 30 visits. You might even get Sonny Styles, Caleb Downs, or Carnell Tate. You know, I think it's very likely that those guys are still available in that range. So for me, you'd want to stay in the top 10. You still want to get a top 10 player. You accumulate extra draft capital. It's not a bad move at all. And you come away with a good prospect still.
Yeah, I think that that makes sense. I mean, I think the farthest I'd be comfortable trading down is not outside the top 10 either. Like, if you go outside the top 10, you better be getting a mother effing haul for that. It better set you up to absolutely clean up in the 2027 draft. And I wouldn't be against that, honestly. Like, delayed gratification, maybe. But if that offer was presented to you to go from like 4, you know, if Jerry Jones gets crazy and wants to trade up from 12, or somebody in the late teens wants to make a ballsy, incredibly crazy move, then I would entertain it. Right. If you're talking about a 2027 first, a 2028 first, a 2026 second, like, obviously they're 2026 first. Like, if you're talking about multiple first round picks, maybe multiple day two picks, I would be on board for that, because you can still get a player that can come in and help Cam Ward this year, whether that's like KC Concepcion or the Penn State guard or somebody like that, that is a true difference maker right away, day one starter, and then set yourself up to really get a lot of talent, acquire a lot of talent in the 2027 draft. I think that's an extremely far-fetched reality. I don't think that there is any world where that happens, So realistically, yeah, if Washington wanted to come up, if Kansas City or New Orleans wanted to come up, I'm on board for the Titans making that trade. And I actually think the chances that Jeremiah Love or Reuben Bain are still on the board at 8, at 9, are not that crazy. Like, these guys have, Jeremiah Love has the I'm a running back problem, which means teams are averse to drafting him in the top five. Reuben Bain has extremely short arms. These other teams picking in between need offensive tackles. And there's three guys that could be top 10 picks in this draft. So I think it's not crazy to say that the Titans could trade down and still get their preferred pick, which in my opinion would be Jeremiah Love or Reuben Bain. For me, Justin, that's the update to the vision. The update to the vision is that Mike Borgonzi pulls off one of the biggest heists of the draft favor of the Titans trading down to pick 7 and still drafting Jeremiah Love.
You're kidding.
What say you, Justin?
You saw that.
I didn't see that. I've started to feel it. I did not see that. And to be clear, the vision that I actually had, the pick number was not part of it. I saw Jeremiah Love being drafted to the Titans. I didn't see that it was at 4 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 9. So it could still be in a trade down scenario.
Interesting. I guess where I struggle with it is I don't think he gets past the Commanders at 7.
But why not? Why is everybody assuming that the Commanders would do this? I get it. They had some comments about running backs. They signed 2 running backs, both to 1-year deals. But if Jeremiah Love at 4 is too high, Jeremiah Love at 6 isn't too high? I mean, that's the same pick.
That's 7, not 4. They pick at
7. Sorry.
And
the Browns,
I think what you're totally ignoring and where you're totally off base here is I think you could justify it when you've got a roster that I deem is closer to winning. The Washington Commanders are not where the Tennessee Titans are, right? Like, they've been super aggressive over the last couple of offseasons. They traded draft picks for Laremy Tunsil. They had brought in Deebo Samuel. Like, this is a good roster with a veteran coach now who's going on his 3rd year there. They're coming off a disappointing year. There's probably going to be some pressure to win because of how horrible last season went. I think the Commanders are in a totally different spot as the Titans. And I get they both have young quarterbacks, so you can make the argument for both teams in terms of surrounding your young quarterback. But ultimately, I just think there's different stages to this. And I think the Commanders, they're way more confident probably that they're one piece away than the Titans are.
I think that that is fair, but I think that their need at edge and at linebacker supersedes the need at running back, where they have signed 1-year Band-Aids, who they could elect to bring back after that year or whatever.
They paid money to someone at edge, though, didn't they?
They did. They paid
Odafe Owe, I think. And they brought in Chaisson as well, so they signed 2 edge rushers.
I agree, but Chaisson, let's be real,
Is Chaisson? Not a great room. It's not a great room, but they raised like the Titans did. They raised the floor there. Although I think Odafe Owe is better than anyone in the Titans' edge room, if we're not counting Franklin Myers as an edge. So they raised the floor there. They went bigger at even bigger at edge than the Titans did. But linebacker's a big need too. I agree. They could go Sonny Styles there. I think I've got a mock dropping Monday. I think I have them going Sonny Styles, if I remember correctly.
They need a linebacker. They need a safety. They need a corner.
Could
I think it's more likely
Bobby Wagner too. By the way,
they could, but they'd still need a linebacker of the future, even if they did that. And I think it's way more likely they have their eye on Mansoor Delane, Sonny Styles, or Caleb Downs than it is. Like, again, none of those guys are premium positions, right? Well, Mansoor Delane is, but Sonny Styles, Caleb Downs, not premium positions.
Right.
Jeremiah Love, not a premium position. I think that it is more impactful. Defensive-minded head coach and Dan Quinn. More impactful for their team and probably for any team. And this is the argument against taking a running back at 4 for them that they would take one of those guys before they took Love. Maybe I am too invested in what I want to happen.
You might be trying to
coloring.
Manifest it.
I am, but I also believe that this, like, are my wants influencing my beliefs? Maybe on some subconscious level. But I just can't see the Commanders taking a running back despite what everybody's saying, when they have needs at linebacker, corner, safety, and two of the best four players in this draft play linebacker and safety. There's a very clear consensus cornerback one in this draft.
You can see the Titans doing it with them having needs at edge and wide receiver.
Because the Titans, I think at four, you're not taking, it's the same conversation, but at four, you're not taking Sonny Styles or Caleb Downs because of linebacker safety value. Obviously, a running back throws a wrench into that entire argument. But when the running back is by far and away the best player in the class, at least on offense, and you have a young quarterback that you're trying to support, and you went so heavy defense in free agency.
Why is none of that true for the Commanders? All three of those points are true for the Commanders, too.
Because the Commanders signed two running backs.
But they
just signed two running backs.
Who did they sign?
They signed Rashad White, and they signed another guy who is on a lower level than Rashad White.
Yes.
I'd have to go look at who else they signed, or let us know in the live chat if you know. And they drafted Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt last year, and they seemingly were high on him, although I think he struggled a lot during last year. But they have three running backs already that are like young or just signed. The Titans have a running back who is young in Tajay Spears, but is in the last year of his contract, and Tony Pollard, who is not young, and who is also in the last year of his contract. The Titans spent so much money on defense in free agency that I do think they didn't do anything to help Cam Ward in free agency outside of Wandale Robinson, and maybe Daniel Bellinger, if you think that Daniel Bellinger is going to help Cam Ward specifically. So anyway, we're going around and around in circles at this point, but I do think that this was a very successful exercise. I do think that looking at this sheet is, again, pretty clarifying on what Titans fans want, on where we think the Titans are going to go with this pick. And I'm excited to do the math on all these bets and see if, number one, if the house makes money, because that'd be fun, Justin, if like we take our listeners' imaginary MCA bucks to the house. We are the house, remember?
Always fun.
And we're also playing against each other. So there's a lot of money on the board here. If the pick is not Jeremiah Love, I mean, we're making money, baby.
Well, I still tend to lean, I went heavy on
Jerome Ford. Thank you, Iron Grids. I knew I could count on Iron Grids.
Both are very cheap deals. Thank you, Iron Grids. I'm going to say thank you for the very cheap deals part of it. So Graver stops pretending that Love's not an option for them. I went heavy on Reuben Bain. I went heavy on David Bailey. I think it's going to be an edge rusher. I placed some money on the field, and I placed some money on Jeremiah Love. I have no regrets.
Same. I put the majority of my budget onto Jeremiah Love, a little bit on Reuben Bain, and some sprinkles on David Bailey, Carnell Tate, and the field. Justin, I wish I could withdraw $500 more and divvy it up some more, but maybe we'll do that again another time. That will do it for this live stream. Music City Audible, we appreciate everyone for being here. Make sure you're subscribed to the channel, like this video, get your comments below. We really appreciate the live chat, obviously, but it is more important and more helpful to us if you wait until the stream ends and leave a real comment on the actual video. It can just say boosting the algorithm. It can say I'm betting all my money on Jeremiah Love. It can be whatever you want it to be. Any comment helps. We appreciate you guys so much. And share this. Share the stream with people. I also wanted to ask Ray Skull, because Ray Skull joined this chat 40-something minutes late, and I didn't get a bet from him. At least I didn't see it in the chat. So before we close this thing up, I'd like to get Ray Skull's bets in if he wants to make any. And also, it looks like I need to fix some of the New Jersey Titans fan. I'm assuming NJ stands for New Jersey. New Jersey Titans fans' bets. He wants actually 600 on Love. Okay, let me do this, Justin. Talk for a second.
This has been a fun one, man. This has been a fun one of the Music City Audible. We're going to continue going heavy on the NFL draft. Caleb Banks, the Florida D tackle, we just missed him yesterday, reported to make a top 30 with the Titans. Tony Pauline just had an article that says the Titans have shown a lot of interest in Nebraska safety Deshaun Singleton. Not a name we've heard frequently. Titans have three safeties in the room, Imani Hooker, Tony Adams, and Kevin Winston, but wouldn't be shocked if they used a mid to late round pick on another one. Sounds like they're showing interest in Deshaun Singleton. So very interesting there as well.
Yeah. All right. I didn't see the Ray Skull bet come in. Perhaps he jumped off. Apologies. Leave your comment on the actual video.
Yeah.
And that goes for anybody watching this on replay. If you want to get in on this action, comment on the video below where you want to place your bets, and I'll get them all worked into this spreadsheet by the time we come back to this, you know, check-in follow-up on this episode. So that'll do it. We appreciate you all again. We'll be back on Monday to talk about the Titans, and we're going to start diving in, Justin, I think, on some specific prospects. We need to do a better look at Carnell Tate. I think we need to start looking at second and third round guys across the board and some sleepers, because I know you got some sleepers in your mind.
Always.
That we need to break down a little more thoroughly. All right, that'll do it for this one. Until next week, y'all stay safe out there and tighten up!
A Broadway Sports Media production.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.